Hey, and just a quick reminder that the audio-only versions of these Vital MX interviews are available on the Vital MX podcast page. Search for it anywhere you get your pods and let your friends know about it. Hey guys, Jamie back with Vital MX for another episode of Lessons and Reflections. This time I've got four-time Monster Energy Supercross champion and three-time AMA Pro Motocross champion Ryan Dungey on the line. Ryan, man, these five lessons in your career, I'm sure there was a lot more than five that you could tell us about. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I want to hear what your top five lessons that helps you later in life, whether it be relationships, business, etc. How's it going, man?
Absolutely. Good, good. Appreciate having me on. I tried to pick five. I mean, there's definitely a lot, but the ones that kind of most come to my head, which is cool. I mean, I just in racing in general, you never thought you'd learn so much just from sports, but it's cool. But I'll get right into it. The first one is focus on executing and not the result. And what I mean by that is, you know, it took me about 4 years into my career to really understand this. And, you know, in our sport, everybody wants to talk about championship. And so as a rider, if you're kind of all over the place, you start thinking about championship. And it's like, dude, it's round one, round two, three. And it's like, you got 15, 16 rounds to go yet. And so it didn't dawn on me that I actually spoke to a mental coach about it, and he helped me with this. And it's like, I started focusing on executing. And what I mean by that is I broke it down daily. So if that was my training, if that was my week, each day doing my training, riding, and even down to like lap by lap. I mean, just living in the moment. And when I'm at race one, round one, we're focused on round one and getting the win that night. And just not so much even focus on the result, but focusing on executing, getting off the gate, getting to the first turn and the next turn, so on and so on. So that one really, really was brought a lot of clarity to me, just because, you know, I wasn't, you know, when you're thinking about the championship, you're so far ahead of yourself, and it's easy to start to hold on to something that's not even there. And so in my mind, I was just like, dude, even if I'm at round 17, I'm not even going to worry about the championship. I'm just going to worry about racing. And if I do my job good, well, the results will be there. Mm-hmm. So that one was a little more simple for me.
And did that translate once you started a business, let's say the coffee business, or even in relationships, like let's execute what needs to be done today. And instead of looking long term so much and more of a more pinpoint look at what's going on in life.
Absolutely. For sure. I mean, I could take that on after racing as well. And any goal for that matter. I mean, if it was starting up the business, or if it's with the foundation and, all of these things, what I try to do is, you know, yeah, we can look out, you can make a game plan. I want a goal. And then you have a 10-year roadmap. What's that going to look like to get there? So kind of, I build that out. Mm. But then now it's like, we have a roadmap, but that can change. Maybe by year one, you get further down the pathway or less, but then you readjust. And so you kind of keep working towards that, but at least you have something you're working towards, whether it's the vision, the goal, whatever that is. And then from there you kind of work backwards, but mainly focusing on executing on that day's task and just try not to get too far ahead of yourself either. I mean, it's like we only get, you know, I know how myself, I want to get ahead. I want to get done out. I get impatient, but it's like, no, you know, stay in the moment, focus your deal. And it's just, life's a lot better that way
too. Yeah. You know, more enjoyable.
I found out.
Sure.
Yeah. You make yourself miserable trying to be impatient and anxious and all this stuff. It's like, no, just enjoy the journey too, you know?
Beautiful. So, what's number two for you?
Number two would be keeping the priorities in order. And that one, what I mean by that is, you know, I remember when I first became a racer, like racing was everything to me. And as it was, because I put so much effort into it, my parents, and to get to that point. And now it's like you turn pro and it's like you're on the big stage now and things seem so much bigger and everything. And so like I caved under the pressure. I mean, the first year I won my first race, and after that it didn't go well because I had these high expectations and it meant everything to me. And then even year two, 35-point championship lead, threw it all away and lost the championship. And well, after that, I realized like race, I had no balance. Racing was everything to me. And the problem with something that's at the center of your life, it's that like, if that's the number one thing, when that falls apart, everything else in your life falls apart. Mm-hmm. And not only that, but the further up that ladder it is and on your priorities, the more it means. And so, like, I always try to look at it, and I took a page out of like Lance Armstrong's book. It's like racing wasn't everything to him. I remember reading that, and it's like, man, how can racing not be? How do these guys perform so well and be so dominant? But it's like, it's not that important to him. But I think they just put it in its place, and that's what I tried to do. And if it was my priorities, like God, my family, the foundation, and I try to put racing like at as low as it can go, because and it makes it seem smaller than it really is. And you know, I when it's number one, it's too big. It's like once you're under the pressure and you know you're on the gate, championship's on the line, it's like you cave under the pressure because it's everything. But in reality, it's like it's not everything. It's mm-hmm. it's just a race. It's small. It's important. Don't get me wrong, but it's not everything. And so it just try to ease the pressure off and not make it bigger than it really is. You know, but also allow you to perform in whatever you're doing. But for me, I was on the track. So trying to get the most out of myself, it's like, why am I going to cave under pressure? I need to, you know, there is no, it's the only pressure is the pressure I'm putting on myself. So, you know,
good point. Yeah.
But, and even after racing, it's same thing. You know, it's easy to get, you know, things are, like racing it was one of those things that just wanted to take first place in your life. So it's like after racing, trying to keep things in balance, putting things first, how you allocate your time, your energy, what's important. And really more so after racing, I would argue it's more important to have that figured out too.
I would think so. I got a quick question on that. When you're in the heat of the championships and at the height of your career, and you probably are to a large degree still prioritizing racing in that moment, and then Lindsay comes into your life who doesn't know anything about racing. Was there a shift there, or did the priorities, were they always kind of in check that racing wasn't number one?
No, they weren't always in check. It's funny you bring that up because I did. I met my wife and I was like, I can't have a girlfriend. I was just so like, I can't let anything take me away from what I'm doing here. And I just made myself miserable. Like it got to be, it was no fun. There was no balance. And then but for sure, it's like once I kind of let myself breathe a little bit in that area and got my priorities in order, it's like, man, there's a balance in life and you can enjoy things. It doesn't mean you're not going to still be a great athlete or be successful at whatever you're doing, but it's not everything. And I think once I learned that, it was like, man, it was like a pressure valve release, you know?
I love that, man. I can't even imagine what a relief that was. That's fantastic. All right, what's number three?
All right, number three is doing the little things. And I think when I looked at my racing career, you know, one of the stories was when I was young, I was probably about 12 years old, it was the summertime in Minnesota. I set my alarm clock for 5 a.m. and I'm like, all right, I'm going to start training. I'm going to get on the road. And as soon as that alarm clock went off, I was like, oh my gosh, like I don't want to get out of bed. But I did, I pushed myself, even if just put one foot in front of the other, just get going. And I was so glad I did, but there were so many moments I encountered that were like, man, you don't always feel like doing it, but if you want to separate yourself from the rest of the field, like you got to do these things, get yourself out of bed. And specifically in racing, training, running, riding, putting in the laps, doing the motos, all these good things. So, you know, with that being said, it was, I think a lot of people when they want to do something great, I want to win a championship. Well, when it came time to doing all these little things, like, you know, do you really want it? And I always try to look at those moments of like how those are arguably more important than doing the big things or somebody seeing you win a race, because nobody sees all the tough times, all the little things you got to do to get to that top level. And even it's an act of integrity, I feel, you know, and the little things of life, man, that piece of trash fell out of the garbage can or it's floating all over the place and there you can pick it up and put it in the trash can. It's like the integrity and the character and all these things. It's like, I think the little things are more important. And don't get me wrong, I'm working on myself all the time in all these areas, but I think those are important things. If you do the little things, then also the big things will come along and take care of themselves too.
Absolutely. They're the sum of what makes the man or the woman. So, yep, for sure.
Yep.
Yeah. Number four. Go. You got more?
Nope. Okay. Yeah. Now I've got more for you.
Okay. Number four.
Is, constructive criticism. And that one, I really, I was really fortunate to have good people in my corner from day one. And especially when I turned pro, like Roger and Ricky. And the one thing that I, that stood out to me right away is that they didn't flatter me with anything. And I wasn't that great by any means, but at that time, like they'd come to me and say, "Hey, you can do this better," or "You can do this better." And I remember like just being like, wow, they're just straightforward and honest, which not knowing at the time, but it was like, okay, as a rookie, like, well, if they say I can do better, I can do better. But I think this constructive criticism is important. I mean, there's the point where somebody can just tear you down and knocking you down. That's not productive. I get that. But as far as somebody coming to you and actually being honest of where you can do a better job on the track, how you can execute better, whatever it is, I was always open to that and trying to be better. Because the second you think you know it all, it's the beginning of the end. And I believe that. And so, and the other thing that even after racing, I apply this to all areas, whatever it is, business, learning how to learn how to be a good husband, good dad, whatever. I always feel like, you know, there's a lot of people that'll come to you and it's your choice at the end of the day, if it's constructive criticism, but at the end of the day, you get to take it all in, absorb it, and you can take what you want and leave the rest. So I think it's important to listen, to hear people out, especially when it comes to this subject, and always taking a, you know, look inside, take that inventory account and like, okay, can I do a better job here? Can I execute? Can, am I being a jerk? You know, if somebody's like, man, you're rude. I'm like, man, am I being rude or all these things? So I think it's a good lesson.
Yeah. And any guy that's married knows that you better be able to take constructive criticism if you're going to have a happy marriage.
Yeah. No, exactly. And that's, I bring up these things that I learned in racing, but they're way more important now than they were probably during racing. So
100%. All right, let's wrap it up with number five.
Number five, it takes a team. And I think, you know, the one lesson I learned in life is if you can do something, if it's a dream or like racing, for example, if you think you can race and make it to the top all by yourself, I mean, you're going to find out pretty quickly, like you won't make it. I mean, it takes a team of people. It did for me, you know, and that was my parents, my family. And even when I turned pro, I mean, the production, the mechanics, the team manager, the engine, suspension, all these people make it all go around. And so it's, and not to mention just with the team, it's funner because you don't have all the skills and the talents that other people have. And so you guys can work together and you see that and understand that and invest back into your people, motivate them and they motivate you, then it just makes everything more smoother. And I would even argue if you have a goal, whatever that is, even after racing, I've learned too, it's like, you know, I try to do some things and try to cut costs and try to, you know, be minimal, not have employees and stuff like this. And it's like, I found out really quickly that, you know, you don't grow as fast, you don't go anywhere. And I would even say that if you think you can if you're doing it by yourself, then you're probably not dreaming big enough either.
Good point.
I would argue that and possibly maybe, but I think in the stance, if you want to be successful and do something, it's going to take a team of people and you're going to have to work together and achieving that goal.
Well, Ryan, those are five great lessons that you've implemented, and you seem to be very successful, obviously, in your career and post-racing. Everything seems to be going really well, so I appreciate you sharing these with us.
No, I appreciate it, too. I mean, I don't want to leave the conversation like my life's perfect. Nobody's is, by any means.
Of course not.
There's challenges and all these things, and I think the biggest thing is you learn from it. Take it, get better, not bitter.
Awesome.
Anyway, thanks for the time.
Yeah, thank you, Ryan. I appreciate your time. It means a lot to us. You have a good rest of your day.
Absolutely. You guys too. Thank you.